Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name is Daniel Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith, and today we are joined by Colleen DeRosa and Brian Renaud of Random Acts Theater. Yay! Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
How are you all doing today?
You know, it's Monday, but other than that, we're pretty great.
I'd say about
happy
the same.
To be here.
I have a cat on my lap right now.
requisite cat in lap. I also love that it's because I just kind of realized this. Obviously, we've talked about the cat before in the show, but there's been a few times. Is it every time that we go? Welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name is Dan Johansson, Maureen Smith, cat in lap.
I think it's like a Pavlovian dog, except a cat.
Honestly, yeah. I think that might be it because she like makes as though she's gonna up until we record, and then as soon as we record, immediately cat in lap.
People that like listen to every episode, like if you can tell, because we probably talk about it every time, because like we can't not. Well, you can tell which guests are allergic, I bet.
Not these two.
Yeah. I popped a pill, so we're good.
Good. Yeah.
Do you have a pill of choice?
No.
I don't. Just
whatever pills I find.
Just your cocktail. You don't even know what you pop, but hopefully it keeps you from being allergic.
You know, so
today
far
I went
sneezy.
Blue. Who cares?
Exactly. As a person that frequently has people in the house that like generally like think knowing what people prefer is always a thing I try to think about.
I see. Yeah. No, I just help myself to the work.
Yeah.
Apothecary.
Yes, thank you. And whatever's there, I will take.
Nice. Cool. So, we just recently learned about Random Acts Theater, but the work that y'all do is super impactful and interesting and cool. So for our audience that maybe also doesn't know about it, would you mind telling us a little bit about Random Acts Theater?
For sure. Yeah, so Random Acts, we started back in 2015. We kind of refer to ourselves as a micro-budget company. I know there are a lot of very small budget companies, but we really will try to put a show together for no money. You know, and we do what we can, and we kind of are very ensemble driven, but not necessarily in kind of the old fashioned ensemble way. We don't plan a season, you know, we just kind of create art. We call it with no expectations. Random Acts, you know, it can pop up anywhere. We do a lot of found theater. So we've done a show in a diner while it was open. We did a show in some people were surprised to see it was happening and some people didn't care, you know, it was what it was. And we've done, you know, shows in bars and, you know, Safe Space is taking place in a bar. But then we've also done, you know, more typical theatrical offerings at proscenium stages. We did a show called Strangest Things. That's kind of our claim to fame. We ran it for 5 months last year.
Christian Siebert.
Yes. Christian was our barb.
Of course he was. he went to my high school. I'm a little older
than
amazing. He is, but he went to my same high school.
And Christian's actually working on the next Safe Space.
Really?
So that's very exciting.
Oh, he's like, he's just like a tall glass of personality. Yes.
That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yes, Christian was a blast. And oh my God, I mean, Barb in Stranger Things. So he played our version of Barb in Strangest Things, which is, you know, a little bit exaggerated. We allowed Christian to put his own touches on
his
it.
Christian
but definitely a fan favorite, that's for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, that's so cool. So I'm wondering, like, So your work isn't season driven. It's more kind of like spark driven. I'm wondering, like, does that come from mainly the management, or do you take like is it more like collective coming up with ideas, or does it vary? I guess I'm just wondering like how planning goes if not done in advance.
Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of a mix. The reason that I started Random Acts to start, it's kind of interesting because I am also the associate artistic director for an equity company called Other Theater, which Colleen has also worked for as well. But so, you know, dealing with equity, there's a lot of amazing things that equity offers for actors and other people in the union as well. But it's kind of in a whole other league. And Other Theater presents a season. It's social justice oriented. A lot of very heavy work. So originally when I started Random Acts, I wanted kind of my fun, creative outlet. And it's kind of interesting because now we're 3-4 years in and I'm kind of moving back towards what Other Theater does and taking Random Acts in a social justice direction. But I think that's, you know, partially just because of our world right now, mm-hmm. and partially just because, like, I am just an activist in general. That's what I do, and so it kind of seeps into any of the work that I do. But as far as, you know, with Random X, we kind of started as, we kind of created this ensemble of artistic associates and company members, and we just reach out and say, who has ideas? Who has thoughts? What are we doing right now? And everybody, yeah. One fun thing about our company is we always encourage people to work elsewhere. We're all working for other companies. We're all doing other things, especially because we are a micro budget company. We rely on a lot of volunteer hours and a lot of people who are just doing it because they care about it. So Random X, it kind of is the company for people who want to have this outlet but aren't necessarily looking for a company that's going to be, you know, their main
source of income, or
well,
like
definitely, yeah.
yeah. You're not like the did y'all watch not Stranger Things, Slings and Arrows?
No.
Oh. It's a Canadian Shakespeare show.
Oh,
it's,
well, I'm interested.
It's
next on our list.
It's pretty great. But I was gonna make, because it centers around this, like, kind of like this machine, like machine Shakespeare company, mm-hmm. that, like, it. There are, like, company members that, yeah. like, have been company members for 30 years, and mm-hmm. that's what they do for a living. But that's, like, such. It's becoming more and more of an outdated model.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. And I feel like sometimes, like, what gives, and at least I'm speak for myself here, like, why I feel like I have such an allegiance to Random Acts is because I'm passionate about the work. You know, it's like there's not a paycheck at the end of it necessarily.
Well, there's a paycheck.
I mean, there is. Like, okay. I'm saying, like,
let's be clear.
Safe space. I feel like safe. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, definitely.
Like, for what we're doing for Safe Space, however, like, it's mission-driven work.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm not speaking in terms of, yeah. like, Strangest Things. Like, I know there was a paycheck. Yeah. However, it's mission-driven work. And I think, like, if you feel that you have purpose in your work, then, like, you're that much more committed to it, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, and I think that thinking about art as a service at all is super interesting. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that the world in which we live in doesn't reward service-driven work,
mm-hmm.
meaning, right. like, creating things that people can use rather than consume.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
like, creating products, like, that can be bought and sold, and that's super, like, a thing that... But, like, in a lot of ways, like, art can really be something that people need. You know, it's a thing that people like. What's the word I'm looking for? It's like a
sustenance. Catharsis.
Like a, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a sustenance thing. Like, it's a, like, yeah. And so,
like,
I think
feeds your soul.
Yeah, right. And I think that especially when you get into, well, so I know we talked a little bit about Safe Space, but can we kind of, like, mm-hmm. flesh out a little more conceptually what the work is there?
Sure, absolutely. So Safe Space essentially is, it's like an open mic with a curator, but not with, like, us who are curating it, but not necessarily directing it. Well, not directing it at all. And it basically is just a collection of people who are performing, and it's hosted by somebody different each month. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, last month we had Sadia Rafai hosting, and this month we have Brittany Meyer hosting, mm-hmm. Both of which are, like, really badass Chicago women who are in
Chicago
the theater.
People.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Chicago people who are in the theater. And so that's exciting. And the hosts pick a like an organization of their choice that they want the funds to go to. So, for
sure.
example, last month was Planned Parenthood. And Brian can talk a little more about this month's organization, and also you can kind of maybe clarify any holes that I
yeah, for sure. Basically, it's a monthly variety event. Last year we did have last month we had a theme of, it was Women's Month, so we decided to showcase all female and non-binary talent,
cool.
which was so amazing and so much fun, and just the energy in the room was incredible. And we don't necessarily, like I said, Christian will be performing in the next one, so we don't have any, you know, steadfast rules for the event, but, and we chose not to, like, we had the Women's Month theme last month, we decided not to have an overall theme this month. We'll probably do that again periodically, like, you know, Pride Month is coming up, things like that.
Right.
But beyond that, you know, we do give the host the opportunity to choose the organization that they're passionate about. So, you know, we were speaking with Sadia last month, and then we spoke with Brittany this month, and Brittany, you know, handpicked Trans Lifeline for us to raise funds for. And I just think that's such an important aspect of what Safe Space is as a whole, because the host has so much more stake in the event succeeding when it's raising money for something that they personally care about. You know, we're not raising money for this question mark that we don't know, you know, and we, Trans Lifeline is a smaller organization that doesn't get, you know, some of the press and attention that some of the larger organizations get. And Trans Lifeline is staffed by all trans people to help trans people. And I think that is so incredible.
Yeah.
I feel like it's really solid.
And, you know, any little bit helps. Yeah. Whatever we can raise for these amazing organizations, we're going to do that.
Absolutely. Well, and the thing I weirdly want to mention, and it has nothing to do with entirely what we're talking, a little bit what we're talking about, but like, Trans Day of Visibility, like, yeah. I know a couple trans folks specifically that posted a lot about it, but like, it was something that, I mean, our Facebook feed was entirely taken up by, we're both church musicians, and so it was on Easter Vigil night, I think. Mm. But so like, there was a lot of, but like, that's something that like, is super kind of important right mm-hmm. now, is like recognizing and acknowledging trans folks.
Yeah.
And I also really, another thing I really kind of want to like, acknowledge, and then I have a question related to that acknowledgement, is how important that artistic licensure is. It's something that we've been trying to talk about and put into words, because like the idea of people want to talk about programming diversity and programming mm-hmm. accessibly, and that's super important, mm-hmm. obviously. But there's a difference between programming diversely and administrating diversely, yes. you know, and mm-hmm. giving that artistic license. And then there's also the line between that of being like, oh, here's the entire burden of education of your
culture.
Yeah, right. Of your of what makes you oppressed or marginalized mm-hmm. or however you want to put it. But so kind of all of that being said, you know, the decision we've gotten to have the chance to talk with a couple other people that are starting to think about diversity and accessibility in mm-hmm. these ways, and recognizing that it's not just about programming it, you know, right. it's about giving people the tools to like successfully accomplish like representative work. Sorry, cat distractions.
Cat shenanigans.
I want to kind of ask mm-hmm. for y'all, like fleshing out like what kind of came to that decision making for you, like what was the moment in which you were like, okay, this is the kind of work that we're gonna do, and it needs to be done in this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so Other Theater started in 2014, and Other Theater, every play that or musical that is presented by Other Theater is telling the story of others and their allies. So, you know, we started with Twilight Los Angeles 1992 about the Rodney King riots. Then we did Bent, which was about gay men being persecuted during the Holocaust. Incredibly important stories to tell, you know, working with diverse queer artists to tell them. But I think that what separates Safe Space from kind of social justice theater in general is that we are not telling anyone's story. We mm-hmm. are not speaking on behalf of anybody. We are simply handing them the mic, and we are celebrating them. And it's the best.
And in that way, that's why it's like curating versus directing. Right. So it's not like you're going to stand here and do this thing. We're like, we're mm-hmm. just going to include you in this performance for right. an organization, and like it's in so many ways like as simple as that.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of like the goal.
Well, and what's wild is that in itself, that act of stepping away and handing the reins over, is a surprisingly radical act, because so few people do it. Yeah. Like we started doing that with this program we run called Hearing in Color, where it's in the same vein, but in this case we highlight a very specific culture. Like, we've done a Black concert, we've done a Latinx concert, we mm-hmm. did a Filipino concert, we did another Black concert, but it's all entirely organized,
programmed,
performed with mm-hmm. all members of that culture. So, like...
Yeah.
And doing it, so, and the thing, the other kind of bent is that we're both classical musicians by training, and so that's something that's super under, and that was the thing that kind of piggybacking on what you were saying is there's a difference between representation and celebration, I think. And that was something that we kind of like broached when we first started, was when we first started it, we were like, oh, we'll call it the representation series, like two well-meaning white people. And then, you know, the first concert happened, and then the second concert happened, and then a couple of people mentioned to us that, like, you know, like, I super get where you're coming from, but it's not just about, like, it can come off like, almost like, and the word I'm looking for is not the word they used, but they said it much more eloquently, but like, it can be like a pity thing to be like, oh, we're gonna bring you up. And it's like, no, like, especially seeing that work, like, you know, classical music, you think like, oh, there can't be Filipino classical music, or there can't be like South American or Central American classical music. There is.
Of course.
It exists. Like, there are composers that are classically trained, and like, it's just that they haven't been
showcased.
Like, they haven't been, it hasn't been celebrated. It hasn't been, like, this excellence exists. Absolutely. And I think that's such a powerful way of thinking about it. And I think that's something that
it exists, like, not just through like a white lens or like right. a, you know, yeah. like yeah. it exists in and of itself.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm interested, kind of, so did you start Random Acts Theater kind of, and I think you touched on this already, but kind of like in reaction to the structure of Other?
A little bit. I mean, I don't, to be clear, I love Other Theater.
No, of course.
And I love what I do with them. I think it's just like to compare, to put it as simple as I can put it, you know, the first year, like I said, we did Holocaust Theater and we did a Rodney King Riots play. And then the first year of Random Acts, we did a zombie play and we did a play based on the Twilight series, a parody. You know, so it, you know, I don't want to say quote unquote fun theater, but like it was a little bit of a reaction just in terms of like, I come from a world of sketch comedy and parodies and very just different theater than what Other Theater does. And that I was itching to keep doing that in Chicago. And so that is kind of what led me to Random Acts at first. But then, like I said, the social justice creeps in no matter what, because I'm an activist and I care. And it's just going to be that way no matter what I'm working on.
Well, and then Colleen, what was your first experience with Random Acts?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the very first was the Awkward Family Gatherings sketch show.
That was fun.
That was what, like last winter?
Yep.
And then shortly after that, I was in Strangest Things. I was Dustin, the little boy cranial
another fan favorite dysplasia. Right here. Colleen is Dustin. So yeah, we had all female identified performers playing the young boys.
And I really kind of, love that.
We mixed and matched really a little fun. Bit because, like I said, Christian played Barb, but Christian also played the doctor. But the main casting was, you know, female identified actors as boys, and Colleen destroyed it as Dustin.
It was fun. It was a good time. We we rode in on scooters instead of bikes. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
As you do.
It's so much fun.
As you do.
Well, and I you know, I really am enjoying like hearing y'all's perspective on this, because I think that in a lot of ways, coming from an activist perspective, like institutional, and well, here's the thing. Coming from being familiar with activist work, but also being familiar with institutional work, and being familiar with major theaters, being familiar with, like, for us, being familiar with major opera companies, it can be really hard for institutional spaces to take a crit, you know, to take criticism. And in a lot of ways, it's just like, no, like, we're not, it's not a thing of like, I want to burn you down.
Right.
It's a thing of like,
just do better.
Be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's such an interesting thing, and it's I know a lot of people that find themselves in that space where they're like, you know, I love what you know, I don't know, I don't want to start naming institutions, although I've done that on the show before. I love what this institution is doing, but it's like it's not the work that I want to be doing. And so I guess I'm curious for you, like, what headspace did you find yourself in when you were like, I need to be making my own art, you know, like, I need to be producing for myself?
I guess it's not necessarily from a social justice standpoint, but the year that I graduated college, I was offered an opportunity to direct a play as a season in a suburban theater company's season. And I didn't really care for the play that I was offered. And luckily I was close with the person who ran that company, and I was able to start that conversation. And that's how I ended up writing my first play. I never thought I would be a playwright, but I was given this slot in this season, and I was able to present what I wanted to do. And that was kind of my first time creating something from scratch. Aside from sketch comedy, you know, I had done sketch comedy for like 7 years or something, which was a lot of fun, and it taught me a lot and had so many different experiences. But I never thought I was going to write a play, and then I wrote this play, and it kind of opened up my eyes to, like, oh, you don't have to be a playwright, you know, with a master's degree in playwriting to be a successful writer. I was very happy with the play that turned out, and I've never stopped writing now, and it makes me really happy. But in terms of, like, getting to safe space, I think for me, I like really tangible things. And so just the fact that it is a tangible fundraiser monthly, I can see the money going to the benefiting organizations instead of, you know, like, oh, we're going to do this festival that highlights, you know, people who aren't otherwise highlighted. And it's like, well, that's generic, and who's benefiting from this, and like, where is this going? And,
mm-hmm. And that almost goes back to the, like, representation.
Exactly. Like, do you actually care about what you're presenting here, or are you presenting it because everybody else has hopped on the diversity train?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think with Safe Space, it's just like, you know, It wasn't a gamble because we didn't put any money into it, because we just set it up at the bar. I was able to find a sound system, and the bar gave us free space in exchange for their food and drink sales. You know, we made it work, but like at the same time, it did feel like a gamble because we had no idea what to expect. But sure. It was this tangible event where we were featuring incredible artists that deserve to be in the spotlight, and then we turned around and we were able to donate directly to Planned Parenthood the next day. Like, it was just an amazing feeling, and it's immediate and it's tangible, and
especially in a time where it's really hard to have those moments where you mm-hmm. feel like what you're doing is actually actively making change.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that's kind of it. This really harkens back to the thought of art as a service. Like, in a lot of ways, like, we have a hard time quantifying, I guess, like, what it is the work that we're doing means to other people. You know, like, it's hard to always recognize that.
True.
But yeah, it's amazing when we, like, can start finding ways to do that. Like, I know for me, starting to think about, like, record keeping at all is kind of, like, a major thing for, you know, like the things that people like 100, 200 years from now are going to be like listening to be like, what the hell was going on back then, are like podcasts and like weird websites. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like physical record. Anyway, this is super not relevant to anything that we're talking about. I just like super appreciate where your head's at.
I'm interested. So in talking about tangibility, I'm wondering, so last month was your first Safe Space performances. Mm-hmm. Performance. And I'm wondering, like, what kind of acts were done? Like, what performances happened?
Yeah, there was, it really ran the whole gamut. so there were some poems that specifically discussed gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
There were also some really beautiful monologues. And we had some really stellar performers. Robin Coffin, who's a regular actor in Chicago Fire.
Mm-hmm.
She read a really beautiful poem. Karen Silkaitis, also in Chicago Fire, read a beautiful poem. And there were some great singers as
well. There was some great music. There was some burlesque.
Yes. There was some, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. yeah, that was so cool. Mm-hmm. And there was one woman at the end who, actually your roommate, Sarah, played, she played the saw. I don't know if you've ever seen
a literal
play a saw.
Serrated saw.
Literally.
Well, isn't that what, do you know Nutramilk Hotel?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what he does in that, right?
No way. Really?
I'm pretty sure he played the saw in that. Yeah.
It was pretty incredible. I've never seen it before.
And she played Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and it was like beautiful. I'm like, I'm crying at a saw right now.
Mm-hmm. Like the entire room just completely hushed.
Yeah. Everyone kind of like freaked out.
Well, yeah, because if I'm thinking of what I'm thinking of, it's like a weird, weird, eerie tone, right?
It's eerie, but beautiful.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Haunting.
The like,
definitely.
thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nailed it. That was an That's excellent pretty, saw
is that you or a saw?
Because I love that.
Who had a saw in here?
I will say to the end of time that In the Airplane Over the Sea is a perfect album. I like, and I know that I'm like a douchey hipster saying that, like, but I, and I love that sound. And it's because, anyway, sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm like, don't know where I'm at with tangents. Well,
if you come to Safe Space, you might hear us all. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Very cool. So I'm interested. Mm-hmm. So it's one person, a rotating like cast of characters curating these events. Now, do these individuals tap people that they know, or is it more of like a submission process? I'm wondering how these events are pieced together, or does it vary?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of both. We're still kind of finding our footing right now. We did not want to do any sort of like audition or call that didn't feel right for this project. Yeah. So especially for the first month, it was very much, you know, the curators, about three or four of us, really reaching out to our contacts. You know, I have an amazing friend who lives in LA, but she used to do stand-up comedy here, and I reached out to her, and she actually connected us with Brittany Meyer, who did stand-up last month, was absolutely incredible. The audience loved her, and they are hosting this next month. Nice. So, like, that's an amazing, and we also had stand-up from Whitney Wasson, who was the same thing, another recommendation. So, you know, everyone in our universe is connected. So it's a little bit of us calling in favors, you know, like Robin Coffin on Chicago Fire. I'm like, can we make this work with your schedule? But luckily, you know, she was able to make it work. But since the first event, we did put up a Do You Want to Be Involved on our website, and we have gotten submissions, and we weren't really ready for that yet.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. It's an amazing problem to have, but we're kind of like a little bit slammed right now.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Like, we've run into that with our podcast episodes, mm-hmm. because we've been around for about a year in our current incarnation, mm-hmm. and what we've really come to find is that, like, we can reach out to pretty much anyone, and I think that this is just across the board with podcasts. Anyone with a podcast can reach out to anyone, and 9 times out of 10, that person will say yes.
Honestly, it's really been excited more about like
headphones on.
99 out of 100.
Yeah.
Like, we've got a really solid
We've only been told no once, and the only reason is that that person was like, I don't think that I would be a good fit, but here's another person on this project.
Sure. There you go.
And so it's like, it's wild. Like, once you open up, it's amazing the power of just opening things up to the universe.
Well, people are hungry for a platform, exactly. I think. And exactly. I actually this is super, because it comes back to this artistic license conversation. And another thing that we really end up talking about a lot with artistic license is how valuable the room for experimentation is. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of something that you were mentioning. I'm wondering if you could speak to that. Like, what... you mentioned that the space that Safe Space is in is still kind of finding that footing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there can be a real power to that. Is that something that you're finding, or that the expectation isn't like a finite thing? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely think that that works to our advantage. You know, it kind of... Our goal is to present a safe space where people, you know, like Colleen touched on earlier, we don't direct any sort of pieces, but we do discuss them with our acts and stuff. We want to make sure that everybody, you know, is presenting something that aligns with the overall goal and messaging of the series. And we want to make sure every single person in that room feels safe, whether they're in the audience, whether they're on stage, no matter what. If you don't feel safe at our event, we have failed. We are presenting a safe space. So I think that by it being kind of not this super set in stone thing, I think that it allows for more room where, you know, like if you're going up and you're reading a poem and you mess up, nobody cares. Yeah. You know, we're in a bar. We're drinking.
Yeah.
And we're here to support each other.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
There's nothing, at least what we hope. You know, I was terrified. I wanted it to go well. But what we hope is that no one is scared to be involved in Safe Space. We want to uplift each other. We want to support each other while also supporting organizations that we all care about.
And I mean, that's where you find real inclusion, right? Because that flexibility to have that room is where people are going to feel welcome.
Yeah.
And like, that's such a hard, I like super commend you for finding that, because that's not easy to do. It'd be really easy to not do that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Thank you. I mean, it's a work in progress.
Definitely. And it's still, and it's kind of funny that we're even like, it's exciting that we're talking about it mm-hmm. and in its infancy, but it's like, I wonder, you know, 5 safe spaces from now, what right. this conversation will look like.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is something we talk about on the show. We don't talk about it on the show. We usually tell people afterwards. We love having people come back on. So like, we're super interested in continuing and following mm-hmm. up, you know, because that's, it is like, the thing is, like, this kind of work and other folks that are doing similar work, like, it's uncharted territory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard in art to find that sometimes. Like, you know, like, some people say, like, oh, there's no new genres of music. There are only going to be fusions of genres of music. And I was like, I don't know how true that is. But, like, but my point being is that, like, there's already been a lot of work done, but there's also, like, a lot of major areas that are just under, like, explored.
I think it touches on your tangent of record keeping, where like, because, and this is going to lead into my next question of like, I think that, you know, coming back on and talking about a project more than once, like to some may seem redundant, but like when it's uncharted territory, when it's an experiment, like mm-hmm. it's gonna be a different thing in 6 months.
Right. Totally.
It's gonna be a different space. And so it is essentially gonna be a different project. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's real value in talking about it now and kind of documenting that spark. And then really touching on it again once it's more developed, once mm-hmm. it's more finite, you know. And that again leads me to my next question of like, I want to talk about Chicago as a place to create art in. So I'm interested, first of all, what brought you to Chicago as artists, and also what this city and what this environment and what this artistic community has afforded you as individuals creating an inclusive experimental artistic space. Like what do you think Chicago has done for that space?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm biased, but I think Chicago truly is the greatest city to present new work. Of course, there's so much incredible work that premieres elsewhere in New York and wherever else. But I just think that Chicago, there's something about it that it's like the scrappiness of like, nobody is working on theater in Chicago to be famous.
No.
Nobody is working on theater in Chicago to make money.
No.
We're here because we love it and we're passionate about it. And so there's just a completely different energy in a Chicago rehearsal room versus somewhere else. In my experience, of course, where I just think that there's so much passion for creating something special and creating something important, no matter what you're working on, I think that that is a possible goal for any project. And I think that that is like the main backbone of Chicago theater.
Yeah. And I think in so many ways too, there's some like permission to fail almost, but in such a way that like you fail so you grow, like mm-hmm. there's permission to like just like get a little weird mm-hmm. and a little like not commercial.
Yeah. Well, audiences want that here. And yeah. the other thing that's amazing too is
nobody wants Pretty Woman the musical,
right?
No. Nobody wants it. Yeah. Sorry. Wants oh my god, I'm gonna get in trouble. But no,
well that's the thing is in Chicago you're not gonna get
this
in trouble.
True. No. This
that's
true.
The thing, and I think that there's something, you know, I think that's what makes this city great is, you know, there are a lot of not New York's, you know, there are a lot of not LA's.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that I don't think that they put out as much art as Chicago does.
No,
you know, and I think that, you know, to your point of recognizing and making available the idea that folks that work with your theater company are doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of like recognizing that is, that's a very Chicago thing.
Yeah.
And I think that that's not something, I mean, I'm sure that that's the case in other cities. But it's so in the blood of people making art here.
Yeah, yeah.
That like people are just working on, like I think like, like, if you take a random sampling of 30 people, they're working on 90 projects altogether.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, I think in some ways it can be a detriment, but in other ways it says a lot about what it is that we're looking for as an audience, you know, because a lot of times your audience is art makers, which also, and we should totally talk more about Chicago generally and your experiences with Chicago, but I actually also want to mention and ask you about, because Maureen had mentioned to me that you do a sliding scale for tickets, is that right?
Or pay what you can?
Yeah.
Can you touch on that? Yeah, pay what you can is like is just how Safe Space works. And everything, all of the funds go directly to whatever organization the host chooses. So like literally you give $5 at the door, the $5 goes to Planned Parenthood. You give $0 at the door, great, you get to come see Safe Space. Yeah. Like no biggie. You know, and like the donations range from 0 to like 50. And it just is like what you feel like you can give that night.
Yeah, we offer for every $5 you get a raffle ticket for our prize basket for that month. So last month we put together a whole feminist theme basket. It had some plays by Chicago female authors.
Dope.
There was a, what's it called, an Alexa from Amazon?
It was an Echo Dot.
Yes, whatever that is. I'm not a tech person.
I literally won it at work and I was like, I don't want this thing laughing at me in the middle of the night.
But lots of people love those. And it's a nice prize. But so, you know, we put together, it's obviously not about the prize basket, but it's our little incentive. But of course, donate nothing. That's fine. You know, it's about the community. And anything we do raise, you know, obviously my parents come, they can afford to give a little bit more than a struggling artist of our age living in Chicago, you know. So it's a donation, pay what you can kind of thing. But, you know, as of last month, it was very successful. So
it really was. Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's like so hugely important. And it's something that I was kind of thinking about, and just the kind of artist that's here. I think what's cool about Chicago art making is that you're kind of able to be poor here. You know what I mean?
You better be able to be poor here.
Well, but I mean, like, but like, you can't really be poor in New York. You can't really be poor in Los Angeles. You can get away with being poor here.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think most people I know, that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, and especially like with New York and LA, like from what I understand about even like auditions there, like they're going to like happen during the day. So you can't like have a day job. Like I couldn't like here in Chicago, like I work 9 to 5 and then go audition and perform and do things like Safe Space and whatnot. Like that is a structure that, that I feel like is very intrinsically Chicago. Like, you know, you moonlight as an artist and then you have another job or two jobs or whatever. So you can like, you know, pay rent,
right?
Feed yourself.
Yeah, no. And something, I'm going to make a Slings and Arrows reference again, and I apologize for that. It's for some reason,
you gotta watch it.
It's on my mind. You do have to watch it. It's free on YouTube right now.
Perfect.
Look it up. Nice. But something that one of the characters says is like, he's like running this theater company that he's like been evicted from his building twice and blah blah blah, and his like business manager is like, oh, like we're like threadbare, we're like, you know, running, we're like, you know, we're just like, we're about to snap, and he's like, yes, and the most interesting art happens just before the thread breaks. And like, I think that there's something very Chicago about that, because like when you're in a Chicago rehearsal room, you're with people who have been at work for 9 hours, and then there's 3 hours left of rehearsal, and I think that there's something so raw about that energy of like, hey, like you had to deal with Linda at work all day, and now and you Linda. you got on the train from work and you haven't been home, and now you're in this rehearsal space, and now you have to flip this switch, and there's something so unfiltered that happens. Well, I think that's something that's so intrinsically Chicago of like, there's no filter. Like the people here are like, if you meet like an old Chicago guy, it's going to be like, hey, like that. And so it's just like, I think that it's just like part of the culture is that like, everyone's tired.
Yeah,
totally.
We're all getting through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were going to say something and then I kept going.
I was going to say that, there's also such an interesting thought of like not selling out or like trying to. It just feels like in a lot of ways, Chicago folks all are trying to find a way to make this work together, you know, like, and I think that in a lot of other spaces, folks may like be like, oh, you know, we're gonna get like an angel investor, or we're gonna get like a way to like, we're gonna charge this much for tickets. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Chicagoans more than anyone want to build something from the ground up and want to see the city succeed. And I think that that's, it's something that, and that's kind of why we, you know, there's a couple different themes now that we've done 200 episodes of this show that we're like trying, that we're like trying to best verbalize. But that's one of the ones for me where it's like figuring out how to make meaningful work that is, that does cost, that is costly, but is effective and is something that matters to people. It matters to people that make it. It matters to the people that see it, but still doing it in a way that you don't lose that Chicago je ne sais quoi, that like thing that you can't really, that the struggle of it, you know, mm-hmm. the like, we don't know how many people are going to come. We don't know yeah. how much money ticket
there's
sales are
going to be.
There's
a pole in the middle of our set holding right. up this building.
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be a sound system at the bar that we're yep. performing in.
Yeah, and, literally, like, yeah.
And I think that...
like, this might be the wrong chord. Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's something that, you know, as we're thinking about all of it, is like, there's a piece of that that I don't ever want to see art making lose, because that's... that freedom, that both what that strife affords you is that room to make something that may not do well conventionally. Mm-hmm. That room to I don't know why we keep circling back to our project, but Hearing in Color, the thing that we find really valuable is that the folks that are programming are able to experiment with works that have never been performed before. Mm-hmm. And having that room to have someone play a saw, have someone read poetry that isn't read often, like mm-hmm. that, you know, like the license to experiment rather than educate other people.
Yeah.
That's such a powerful thing. And that's something that folks that are privileged so easily glance over, is like not recognizing that you've had the ability to do your art in a way that allows you to experiment for so long. But that's not the case for a lot of people that also are making art, or that are you know, that you want to include in your diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean my long-winded rant is because if these are thoughts that I think about a lot and still haven't gotten in into 10 words. But like it's kind of where I'm coming to, and I guess I don't really have a question, but my
I have a question. So, you know, with all of this, with you know, as individuals producing mission-driven work, you know, on a micro budget, as you've said, where do you want to see Random Acts in 5 years?
That is literally something I have not thought about.
Isn't that wild?
That is, I mean,
but that's sort of in keeping with the project.
Yeah, right? Like I was gonna say, with other theater, that's something we've talked about on a regular basis since mm-hmm. our launch.
Sure.
But with Random Acts, it feels like such a spontaneous collection of artists coming together, and that's whether they're performers or writers, directors, musicians, anything. And it's just, I'd like to believe something like Safe Space could run forever, but I don't know, and I don't know how long I will have the energy. You know, it's just because, you know, Colleen and I and Alex, our other co-curator that has worked kind of really intensely on it for the past 2 months, it's the three of us, you know, leaving work and, you know, doing
each other,
all of that,
trying not to get fired,
you know, working with these acts who, you know, a lot of these acts aren't necessarily from the theater world, which we love and that's what we want, but, you know, trying to necessarily figure out scheduling and announcements and, you know, all of that, it is a lot of work. And so I think, who knows where we will be in 5 years, and I think that's the way that I want it to stay.
Yeah, I
think that's fun. I like that.
I don't ask that question very often, mm-hmm. but for some reason I felt moved to ask, just because, like, in the spirit of experimentation, like is there really something that we can plan with that kind of thing.
What is the goal you're looking? What
I mean, I would say that most theater companies, especially in Chicago, I feel like year three is where 90% of companies shut down.
Yeah.
Most don't make it to 5 years or 10 years. And Random Acts, we're in going into year four now. So, like, I think there's a little bit that it's already surpassed my expectations. And I just don't know. And I think there's no way to ever know. I think, you know, look at American Theater Company that just shuttered after 33 years. Yeah. I personally thought they'd be around forever.
Yeah.
And I think they did too. And now they're not here anymore. And they had grants and they had national publicity, Pulitzer winners, Tony winners. Random Acts has none of that. You know, it's just going to come down to how long this ensemble can do what we're doing, you know?
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I like to think about with certain things, like what's at stake. And, and I think that it's kind of like the, like deep down imposter syndrome that everybody has of like I'm the kind of person who I'm always like, I always got to have a contingency plan. Like how far into this can I get before I can fucking just bail? Which is a very unhealthy thought. But I think that like as artists, as people who are our age now, the thought of like, thinking 20 years in the future, thinking 10 years in the future, thinking 5 years in the future, it's like we don't know what the hell everything's gonna look like. And so, you know, it, I think that that's terrifying. And, you know, I like it's you know, it probably scares the shit out of our parents, but like for like for the artist in us, it's like invigorating because it's like, I don't know what's gonna happen in 5 years, so let's just do it right now. Like let's do our best.
Why wait 5 years when we can like start on this project now? We don't know if we're gonna have 5 years, so here we go.
Well, we have a few minutes left. The last thing we do with all of our guests is a 1 minute plug for anything they have upcoming. Sometimes it's very obvious, like plugging a monthly series. But we also love hearing about, we love hearing dope shout out. We love hearing shout outs for other folks that are doing dope work. We also love hearing about any self-care things, movies, music, TV shows, things and stuff like that that you're consuming.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it should, I don't even know, did we talk about the exact date of Safe Space? Because we should probably open with that, yeah. Safe Space, our next event is on April 22nd, which is a Sunday, and it is at 6 p.m.
Yep.
And it's at Mrs. Murphy and Sons Irish Bistro, which is on like Lincoln and Byron, basically.
North Center.
Cool. North Center, and it's gonna be pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
So yeah, there's first and foremost.
I would guess I will say that we talked about Strangest Things a lot. Very exciting. Millikan University is about to open their production of it.
Cool.
This next week. So I'll be going down the 14th and 15th to see it. They have a bigger budget than we did in Chicago. Like it's just gonna be crazy to see that. So that's really cool. So that's kind of what's next immediately for me.
Yeah. For me, up next, I'm understudying at Raven Theater in Suddenly last summer, and I'm super excited. We just started rehearsals, and I already highly recommend it. It's this play about how we all devour each other.
Nice.
And I'll leave it at that.
Cool. Nice. Cool.
Well, thank you all so much for listening.
Thank you.
I've been Dan Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith.
If you want to keep up with what we're up to, there are so many ways you can do that. The first and foremost is head over to scapimag.com. That's our website. We spell it scapimag.com. We post all of our articles there, as well as all of our podcast episodes, recent articles. We just did a feature on Bach and Beethoven Ensemble, which if you've been listening to the show, you've heard them perform. We had them on Scapi Studio, and we've interviewed them twice. So it was a really fun feature to write. I know there's also another DIY theater article up, but I don't have it off the top of my head, do check it.
There is a an April roundup of performances where Danielle Levski, our theater editor, has come up with accessibility markers.
Nice.
So you can very easily go through a curated list of DIY theater happenings in Chicago in April. You can see if the space is handicap accessible. You can see if there are free tickets available. You can see if there's sign language being offered. You can see if there's
round of applause, Danielle.
Yeah, that's can we do that like
that's amazing.
Yeah, so like she's been working on the system for a while. It's mm-hmm. it looks amazing. So please check it out on our website. If you are a theater company, who is doing DIY things and you would like to be featured in May, then she's listed her email address and just provide any sort of accessibility information so that we can keep this train a moving.
Nice. Yeah. Otherwise, you can keep up with us on social media. We have a Facebook group that we love and adore called Sounding Board. It's kind of hard to search for, so if you shoot either me or Maureen a message or Scoppy Magazine, the Facebook page, Scoppy Magazine, the Facebook page, Scoppy Magazine. I'm just, you know, hammering it. Or send us an email at scoppymag@gmail.com. We'll send you a link and get you all set up into the space. It's super fun. We just talk and chat and have fun. I already plugged the Facebook page, so that's done. Otherwise, you can keep up with us on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram under Scoppy Mag. And you can check all the podcast places for Scoppy Radio. Need to double check Google Play.
Yeah, cool. And as always, I'm here to emphasize the importance of donations. We run on a shoestring budget. Everything that we've been able to do up to this point has been through your generosity. So first of all, thank you so much. Second of all, we could use a little bit more help. If you're in a position to give, you can head to our website, scoppymag.com, and go to our donate section. There are a couple ways that you can give. First of all, if you do a one-time donation, you will have our eternal gratitude. Otherwise, for as little as $5 a month, you can support our mission of uplifting local arts and independent media. If you're interested in advertising opportunities, please feel free to reach out to us at scoppymag@gmail.com. So, give a little, give a lot, and if you can't give, then listen, participate, and share.
Cool. Thanks again so much for listening. Go out and make something.
Yep.